So here we are, another day, another hour in the presence of God. Listen, a supernatural time. It's a supernatural time in all the world right now as kingdoms clash. Spiritually, there's a great war, and the ramping up on both sides, well, is evident. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been looking and watching about the H1N1, the virus, and all the stuff about it. And nobody really likes to get the flu of any kind. I mean, something enters your body and everything gets sick. There is clearly, you know, manipulation going on and man-made stuff. And even the demonic can bring sickness. But let me just mention that right now that the concept of the sin code is an infection the world over. Now, there's been all kinds of remedies of reform and laws and suppressing the depth of the power of the sin code that is animating, indwelling, well, literally permeating the construct of the human heart and life. I believe it's in the genetics. I believe that it's because I believe that we're whole, body, soul, and spirit, and that we're affected as a whole, but that we were meant to be in the image of God, the Imago Dei. This brilliance, this majesty, this beauty has been infected, and we have not only felt the corruption, the sickness, the harm. Well, it ultimately, well, this sin code, the wages of sin is death, will ultimately bring to our physical bodies a death. It's all because of, we weren't created to die, rot, and be put into the ground, my friends. Not at all. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. On Tuesday nights at 7, it's SurviveToThrive.net, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome to all the friends the world over and to those who have been emailing me from England and other places. It's great to know you're there. And it's great to hear from you from different areas. So if you do want to just send a note and say, hey, I'm listening from Canada or Australia or the Hawaiian Islands or down in Mexico or whatever state in the United States, listen, we'd love to hear. We know that many of you by the thousands right now get a hold of the archives, and that's good too. And so we'll put that up on our site, and I believe Steve Quayle also has the archives up on that site. If you want to email, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. We've been engaging this issue of a propensity, a drive, a force that's inside and permeates so much so that we think that it's natural that people are imperfect, that they make mistakes, that people lie, that people cheat, that people steal. Now, we don't want it to go too far. We don't want people to rape and to kill and to create war. We don't want people to develop shadow governments and shadow military and shadow religion that all leads to a globalism with some kind of strange super leader that ends the world in the greatest destruction history has ever experienced. Now, that's what some people want. I was listening to a talk show the other night where, you know, again, coming from alternative spiritual sources, individuals believing that catastrophic events are coming, but there's this hope that somehow we can save the world and that all the things like the Antichrist and the abyss opening up and the catastrophic events will not occur. Can I tell you something? God gives in prophetic revelation accurate, detailed pictures of real future history. And it's not going to change because that, with all the contingencies involved, is what really will occur. We can go to the past and look and see what has happened. We can look at the future and see some of the things that are going to happen. And I think with the wisdom of God, we can then, with his calling and with his will for our lives, really realize, you know what? I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste life. I don't want to waste what I could be and do for the kingdom of God. Evil is ramping up. It's all coming down. We know this. But 2,000 years ago, on the cross, and all the New Agers need to take a look. And all those who are questing spiritually need to look at the event that became the most powerful spiritual event in fallen human history. Because we see the infinite God in the most intimate, personal, relational terms. We see that God remedies the issue of not just the personal sins or the guilt. In Christ, that is remedied. But it's the code, the law of sin and death dwelling in the heart of man, because we opened a door and we acquired a transmutation, a change that occurred inside. And that is the propensity. And we talked about yesterday that it's a predisposition. And I'm calling it a genetic predisposition. And I'm saying genetic because we're affected. Because there is somewhat instructions in the genetic code. There is the phenotype, the genotype. We talked about that. So there's instructions that come from the sin code. That operating presence. It's not a dormant thing. It's an active thing. It's almost, when you read Romans chapter 8, it's almost personified. It's almost like it's alive. And in a real sense, it is. It's an operating presence, number one, that only moves in one direction. It never goes in the direction of God. It's always pointing every ounce of our lives, it's always pointing us away from God, hostility to God, no yieldiness to God, don't seek God, go the opposite way. Ultimately, the sin code in its fullness would say, annihilate God, deny God, get rid of God, kill God. Well, they did at the cross, you know. They did at the cross. Sin has a power to blind, a power to tempt. It's destructive and always leads to destruction. So when you think in terms of the sin nature, the sarx, the old way of saying it, the flesh, the sin nature, you got to understand that it came in as an abnormal transmutation in the beginning at a concurrent or an immediate moment of the fall of the human race. We desire significance. We desire what Francis Schaeffer, the theologian, called the mannishness of man, significance, importance. And I will just say it this way. We want to be embraced. We want to be loved. We want to live. Right? But the issues are that all around us is this corruption, is this evil, is this stuff that goes on, and we do everything in the areas of sociology and psychology and human potential movements, and even the New Age movement tries to remedy this. You know, one of the greatest errors in the New Age movement and the alternative spirituality movements? They just call it negativity. They have no idea. See, they won't confess the source. They don't tell us what it really is. They just call it negativity, that we got to do positive things to overcome the negativity. There's no question that the sin code emanates negativity. That when we do what the sin code wants, Paul talks about this in Romans 7. What he wants to do, he doesn't do. And what he does do, he refers to as sin, he really doesn't want to do, but he does it anyway. There's this whole confusion because we were not made for it. We were not created for it. We were not designed for it. But in that concurrent moment, when we listen to alternative spiritual proposition, we agreed, we chucked God through the Word of God to the ground, embraced the Spirit-given Word of a fallen cherub who promised, well, new human potential, an evolution to deification. And what happened in that concurrent moment was the Spirit of God departed, the entrance of the sin code and death code immediately occurred. Well, and then the progression. Now, if you want a panoramic view of the world and its fallenness and the reasons for it, of its harm, of its hurt, of its pain, of its lack of direct fellowship with God. Well, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 on down. You're going to read about the involvement of the human race with the sin code to suppress, to sweep under the carpet the internal knowledge of God, the external witness of creation concerning the nature and power of God. The sin code seeks to drive that under the table, blind us from it, move us to push it away. Now, some of you listening right now, you might remember when you ran from God. The night that a guy encountered me, filled with Christ, filled with God, he shared with me my need of God. And I was one of those rowdy, alternative spiritual seeking, partying, do my own thing kind of guys. I was so encountered by this presence within this man, Christ, that I ran from him, got in my car, left my apartment, drove all the way back home to my mom and dad's home and said, hey, I'm staying here tonight. I didn't tell him. I'm running from a man that all of a sudden I experienced God literally striking me and calling me to come home to Christ. I couldn't handle that right then at that moment. Because the sin code inside of me was saying, you know, be hostile, run, tell the guy to shut up, get out of there. Do your own thing. Because the sin code is, you ever do that? Maybe some of those who are believers out there right now, you've shared Christ with your family, you've shared Jesus with those around you, and you've watched where some have reacted violently. The deeper the stronghold of the sin code, the deeper the reaction of hostility and rejection and even running. The deeper, listen, it's there, it's operating. If you don't know Christ, if God's not in your life, this is the code that operates within that you realize you're not perfect, you've got problems, you've done wrong, you've got the results of it, you feel at times bad, things are messed up, you get confused, you feel crazy. Bible says God's not the author of confusion, but of peace and order. And so by this providence of God, this incredible supernatural arrangement, because in this hour there is a supernatural operating work going on. I can guarantee you, the devil will fight against it. He's an operating force in the world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, who is now at work, supernaturally operative, in those who are disobedient. That word means those who are still shrouded, gripped, and in bondage by this internal presence, animating the entire genetics and disposition of a person's life. The sin code says, annihilate God, get rid of God, replace God, reject God, deny God, mar God's character, speak out against God, blaspheme God, mock God. That's what all the demons do, because that's their nature. That's what Satan's all about. That's his nature. When he approached Job, it was all about trying to get him to do the same thing that Satan himself does. Blame God, blaspheme God. So the methodology of the evil one is strike up problems, cause bitterness in lives. Try to convince them that God left them, doesn't love them, isn't there, isn't faithful, isn't good. And get them just to get angry at God. Listen, if you get angry, if you're angry at God, that's come from a hidden supernatural work of a very dark presence whose right now eternal goal is to annihilate and replace God. He attempted it once. You can read about it in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. That was the first attempt to just not just take God's throne. It involves annihilating the rival. The intensity of the transmuted, once anointed cherub is so absolutely total. You got to understand, Jesus said there is no truth. There's not an iota of the original in him. Still powerful, still massive. He's far beyond humanity. He's able to orchestrate the hundreds of millions of fallen angels in a grid around the earth that New Agers are now experiencing, channelers are now experiencing, people and remote viewers are experiencing, people are testing out this energy grid, this presence, this living global mind. They are tapping in to what on its front line is a masquerade. Sucking individuals in further and further and further with alternative spiritual experiences that only blind them all the more. This presence around the globe is abnormal. It wasn't meant, but because humanity said yes, opened the door, we gave legal rights, the presence of radical evil is here. And I'm going to tell you again, there's no globalism, there's no Antichrist, there is no massive destruction, Third World War, there's none of this outside of the spirit in the air, Eros, the atmosphere, dense atmosphere around the globe, who's at work. Let me stop just for a moment. For all those coming in new, 20 after 6 Eastern Standard Time here, I just want you to know that we do take the time to pray for all those listening. And all the believers out there that I know that love God, listen, pray for us. Because it's clear and true that people have gotten saved, come to Christ. Some people listening right now, you don't know what that means. In simple terms, it literally means God has re-entered the depth of your being. But there is an explosive core work. The sin code that I'm talking about gets broken. All the sins and evil that we have done in our lives is washed and forgiven totally. The reason, and I want to tell you this, it's not a psychological or psychobabble or New Age mumbo jumbo overriding real personal moral guilt. What happens at the moment that the living Christ comes in is that actual real moral guilt and all that has been done is instantly, totally forgiven. You're cleansed body, soul, spirit, genetics, brain, mind, consciousness, whatever you want to say. This work of the living Christ, who died on the cross and shed innocent, holy, sinless blood, buried, raised from the dead by the exertion of the power of God, the same power of God that may be pricking your heart, convincing you, convicting you to come to Christ. You can muffle over your sin issues, try to reform or hide or put a carpet over the sin code, but put your hand on your chest and feel the heart beating. Someday it's going to stop. Death is inseparably linked as a bad thing to the sin code. So that the words of God telling us the truth, the wages of sin is death. In that same verse in the book of Romans. It says the wages of sin is death, but you want the good news? The gift of God. Christ, all that was done at an old rugged cross. I'm telling the New Agers, I'm telling those involved in man-made religion, those involved in studying physics and looking to, well, you can look to chronics, you can look to anything you want to, but there's no bigger spiritual event in human history right now than what occurred at the cross. On the day of the fall of the human race, the loss of the presence of God within, the intrusion of the sin code that would make man so corrupted and betwixt, that would lend itself to bringing physical death and eternal death and separation from God. That would be the element that drives humanity away from God and keeps the platform open for Moloch and Baal and Chemosh and Nebo and the Mayan blood gods. The door open for 2,000 years later, the Nephilim, and the worship of any and every kind of demon that masqueraded as a god and only sucked the life out of the people. Like the demon gods Quetzalcoatl and others down there among the Mayans. Does nobody see this? Archaeologists tell us that maybe up to 70,000 people, human beings, in the last couple of years of the Mayan civilization were sacrificed. At a ziggurat, the blood flowed, heads rolled. The pictures that the archaeologists are giving us now is of these elaborately dressed priests that serve the demon god, pulling out the guts of a live human being in a bloody, horrific, painful, terrorizing sacrifice. And all of this in the context of the so-called prophecies of the Mayans, where do they come from? From the demon gods. How do they get there? From the bloodshedding of human beings. And yet there's such a stupidity. A stupidity of humanity right now going back down to the Mayans to look at the wonderful, spiritual, peaceful people. And if you open the doors to the Mayan demon gods, they're gonna require sooner or later, like in every case in human history, human blood, sacrifice for greater entrance, greater bondage. And it's like a spiritual cancer that eventually will bring destruction. Such destruction to society, such absolutely transmutation, such total doors to the demon side, that God in grace steps in to annihilate the society that is destroying its own by its compliance to the demon gods. So I warn all New Agers right now in the sight of the living God who sent his son on the cross, who willingly went there. There is a blood that brings freedom. There is a blood that was shed that involves a powerful act where the heart, your construct can be affected, changed in an instant. A new birth. The old conquered. The virus of sin, if you want to call it that, the code is snapped. All of the real bad things, sin is forgiven. And a new life is planted inside. New life. Matter of fact, a new operating code. For everyone, whether in Russia or China or up there in Alaska or across Canada, you right now listening, that whosoever calls on the name of this incredible Christ unprecedented in his birth, his arrival, his work, ministry, sinlessness, words, and cross. Listen, if some still want to go after Quetzalcoatl, the winged serpent, for those who want to go after Nephilim, blood among the Aryans, for those who want to dig up the old gods and be tantalized with spiritual experiences that all promise the same thing. We're going to heighten you. We're going to lead in spiritual evolution to a deification. You can become gods. Liar, liar, liar. Red flag. Come on. Have you ever met anybody who has evolved and become God? Quetzalcoatl didn't. Moloch didn't. All those babies fried in the hot pans of Moloch. None of those people. Not Manasseh. Not one. Not the Gnostics, did one become God? One? See, the sin code echoes the master of the sin code. The fallen cherub, whose genetics, spiritually, physically, and everything about him, is 100% in opposition to God, hatred to God, hostile to God, seeks and desires to eliminate God and replace God and take God's throne. Began Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. The sin code that then one-third of the angelic host agreed with him. They acquired the exact same operating nature. It's their nature, it's their will, it's unchangeable. For them, it's eternal. When it entered the human race in your life, in my life, the difference is man didn't sin in and of himself. There was a temptation. There was someone that came with lies, masquerade, that even brought it a sense of a presence that tantalized and seemed pleasing. And that's spiritual masquerading, spiritual counterfeit, spiritual alternative. When it flows from the finite source, confronts humanity, whether in Eve or anything later, because the methodology is the same. As a matter of fact, thousands of years later, the Spirit of God leads Paul to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Have you ever read this? Where he's concerned that believers in Christ are being led astray from their pure and simple devotion to Christ, from their complete love for Christ. By how? Just like Eve. He's referring to an historical event and the beginnings of a concurrent moment of the fall of the human race, where sin entered in and Satan got legal rights to be the god of the age. The god of the eon, the god of the time period that we're living in. And I'm going to tell you right now, the time period is going to be over. And even though when Christ came the second time, Revelation 12 says and shows the full force of that satanic presence, this enormous dragon stood there with one goal: to destroy Christ, the Emmanuel, God in human flesh, being born into the world. You can read about that in Revelation 12. That's the second attempt at the annihilation. And really the cross, and I put that all together, as God came into the world as Emmanuel, goes to the cross, that whole event, there was a striking, this was the full front line attack, once again, to annihilate, to destroy, to replace. Revelation 12 gives this panoramic view of the past in which God, see the word snatched up, the child, referring to Christ? It's the word used in the book of Thessalonians 4. It's that word that means a forceful, instantaneously, you know, a catching up. Christ, after his work, the ascension, he's caught up. Snatched. Victory, victory, victory. All the way around. Now, if you're listening tonight and thinking about, you know, what in the world, you got questions, And I only encourage you to maybe write down scripture things that we talk about and then go look at them and reread them. And again, if you'd like to write, just let me know you're listening out there. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. It's great to hear from different individuals. Let me tell you that coming up in just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks I think about, is a conference called Demolishing Strongholds. If you're a believer in Christ, if you want to come to a conference that deals with bringing exposure about the ramping up of the stuff going on in the world, but then again about how to demolish the strongholds in our personal lives, learning what ritual satanic warfare is about, what they're doing, learning how to prayer map and the basics of spiritual warfare all the way to the point of being a powerful, powerful confronter of radical evil. Just go to shatterthedarkness.net, and on the right-hand side at the top, you'll see where it says Demolishing Strongholds. You can read about all the stuff coming up. And they're going to allow me to speak on Friday night and Saturday, about 6 hours worth, and then they're going to have me speak in the same church building on Sunday morning, the next day on the 25th. So I hope you can come in. We'll have a great time. I'll be baptizing some folks, I believe, on Saturday night. I want to also mention that there is a new series we're doing called 31 Days Ablaze. We've got a series on Psy Wars, a series on discernment. Again, you can find all of this on the shatterthedarkness.net site. And there's a 31 Days Ablaze, anywhere from 10 minutes to 15, up to 20, of a little spiritual shot in the arm every day. You can have those. But I want you to know that in the hour that we're simply interacting with, well, different topics, every week there's a series, and then we try to break it down four times in a week. Yesterday we were ending up with dealing with Romans chapter 8, and if you really study that, you're going to see that you are either in Christ, in the Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free if you've come to Christ. Romans 8 will also tell you that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, the living Spirit of God Christ in you, you're none of His. You can be spiritual, have spiritual experiences that are real, but let me tell you what, there's a lot of it that doesn't come from God. If it comes from God, it leads you to the heart and the face and the life and relationship with God. If it comes from the dark side, it's filled with deception, seduction, masquerading, spiritual preoccupation, distraction, and even the dark side looks for individuals that they can bring a seductive, convincing, well, writings, communications, so forth, and then lead individuals like that to go out there and influence others. Now, it was prophesied 2,000 years ago in 1 Timothy 4 that this would occur. And probably globally, a couple hundred million people have embraced the spiritual alternative movement, drive, experiences, writings of what many call the New Age movement. And I'm saying that there's folks in the military, in the politics, all kinds of individuals. The core belief is Luciferian, whether they realize this or not. Wherever you find the spiritual teaching that mankind, by embracing alternative spirituality, will evolve, reach a new consciousness or deification, in other words, totally change. And you've got individuals telling us that the aliens are telling them that. You got people like Alice Bailey and others that ascended masters were telling them that. I know. I was there. I sat in a Buddhist temple in Golden Buddha learning how to leave my body to try to get to the ascended masters and receive the what the master there called all the wisdom of the ages. If it comes from that fallen, finite, masquerading spirituality, it's going to communicate, hey, we're here to give you this elitist, secretive knowledge that will lead you and bring advancement to humanity. And, oh, we're going to solve the problems. We're going to bring peace. We're going to lead humanity to become, you know, come out of its dark ages and evolve and become like gods. Liar, liar, liar. And if you're into that right now, I only urge you to ask the question why, in the totality of the New Age movement, they've had to completely rip Christ out of all of the prophets and apostles, the elect angels of God, all of what they've said, and reduce him down to this little alien psychic little buddy Jesus that isn't even God. How could it be in the New Age movement that the spiritual teaching is that you can become God, but Jesus is not? Hey, he just some, well, like someone said a week ago, he's just a grandfather religious leader, among many other religious leaders. And so, really? Was Muhammad born of a virgin by the conception of God the Holy Spirit, prophesied in advance 700 years with hundreds of prophecies that told about Bethlehem, born of a virgin? What was there even a mention of Muhammad in the Old Testament? Where's Quetzalcoatl, everybody? Where is Quetzalcoatl? And those who want Moloch back in California at Bohemian Grove, where the elite Luciferians are bringing world leaders year after year after year after year out deep into the woods to observe a mock, well, they call it a mock human sacrifice. The victims I've dealt with back in the 90s and up to this day, it's not mock. Even if it was mock, why would world leaders clap their hands and cheer and listen to and watch hooded, robed individuals carry what looks like a human body, throw it into a fire in likeness to Moloch, where a painful burning goes on? See how stupid, how spiritually undiscerning. You know what the elitists are doing there in California at Bohemian Grove? They are summoning the powers of darkness, targeting those world leaders they've gathered in, politicians, military leaders, media moguls, and the wealthy of the earth, and sending the spirits right out on them to convince them. To convince them to rid the earth of God, of anything connected to God, to believe in a new age of globalism, a spiritual golden age in which a super leader will come with incredible supernatural wisdom, abilities, embrace the Antichrist. I mean, that kind of thing going on in California at Bohemian Grove is, well, you can take a look biblically in Revelation 16. Demons are sent out targeting the kings, political, military leaders. So I'm going to say to you who are military, beware. Those in the government, beware. Whether you believe it or not, whether you chuckle at it or not, whether you sneer at it or not, I'm going to tell you right now, all of biblical prophetic revelation, including prophets and apostles, angels of God that helped Daniel in the book of Daniel, Jesus himself, everything tells us that the primary targets of the frontal forces of satanic seduction, deception, manifestation will be politicians on the one hand, military leaders, institutions, weapons developers on the other. If you understand the sequence of satanic evolution, that it doesn't come all at once, It's been coming in a frog in the kettle incremental approach. It will come in with a massive, chaotic anarchy, a crash that underground blood generational Satanists have called the Black Awakening. The scripture calls it the Great Revolt, a coup just before the apocalypse of Anthropos Anamos, the men of sin or the men of lawlessness. Now listen, look at the panoramic view in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 if you want to. And I want you to, again, really understand what's occurring in the world. We mentioned the other day that Satan is the father of this, obviously, that has come to us as humanity that gave in. Yes, that Romans chapter 1 gives this panoramic view. Romans chapter of the fall and extent of the fall. Then Romans chapter 8 gives this kind of revelation on the internal operating presence of a sin code. I mean, the Bible just simply calls it the law, a law, an operating law of sin and death. It is, if you're in that circle, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, whether you can agree or not, I'm going to tell you right now, the Word of God says that it's the operating principle inside of you. That it leads to death and ultimately will lead, because it's an eternal issue, it will lead to eternal separation from God. And I want to say, you know, frankly, if you really don't want God now, if you're one of those elitist, arrogant Luciferians that say, you know, you are going to be masters of the universe, it's very clear. If you don't want God now, if you don't receive and listen and hear God's answer, his embrace, his redemption here, if you don't want that power and that love and that grace and that pure, sinless blood of Jesus to cleanse and bring the presence and miraculous power for personal and eternal change, if you don't want it here and now, I want you to hear me. Mark this down. I'm not telling you a lie. You will never be able to get it on the other side. You're lost forever. So if you and I are looking at this propensity, this genetic predisposition to be hostile to God, to do what opposes God, that's clear, Romans 8. But I want you to understand that anyone without the Spirit of Christ who has this operating sin code within, that it is also a platform. It is also an open door. And the deeper any human being gives into, yields to, obeys, follows that sin nature, that sin code, obviously, the construct of the human conscience, mind, heart, understanding, perception, discernment, is darkened. That's what it says, Romans chapter 1, darkened. That's what it says in Ephesians when it talks about darkened in the understanding. And that then opens wide the door for almost an unfelt, involuntary, seemingly, presence to push, to breathe in other things. Like in Judas's case, sitting at the table with the Son of God. In the room, Jesus already knew who entered the room. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Who's going to betray Christ? Foretold hundreds of years prior. Not because it's fatalistic, but because that was the choice of Judas. He chose to reject Christ. He wasn't a believer. He was into greed, into self-promotion. And the Bible simply says, in John's Gospel, that Satan entered into him. And he went out and betrayed the Son of God. I'm going to tell you that if you are without the Spirit of Christ, God within, and the sin nature dwelling and operating your life, whether you're a president or a prostitute, a biker or a businessman, the possibility would be that the drive of the sin nature will lead you to be such in such opposition to God and of Christ that you could be led to persecute those who do believe in Jesus. Just because God's presence is there. Just because God's name is there. You've got to understand the fallen cherubim, the demonic host, cannot stand the name Jesus Christ. They cannot stand the cross, the blood, the word of God, anybody that has the spirit of the living Christ in them. And so the drive will be to influence humanity in a critical mass global consciousness. Oust Christ, oust those who believe in Christ. Suppress them, shut them up. And let the ancient pagan gods that the New Agers can think is new return. And like in among the Mayans, what they opened the doors to eventually took such a hold they couldn't stop it. The demons became so infested, the demon gods became so infested, the possible Nephilim bloodlines that were there continued to want the energies to be raised and the powers and the doorways to be opened, and so human blood required was shed by the gallons, thousands, children found in a pot burned alive. That is Mayan, ancient Mayan spirituality, where the ancient prophecies of 2012 and the coming chaos in a new age, just like Albert Pike, just like Alice Bailey, Satan's playbook, his agenda, God has revealed aspects. Satan's going to come with the incremental approach. Satan's going to come with the great chaos to collapse society and bring such total collapse that humanity will cry out for a savior, a world savior, probably already alive there in Europe among you Europeans. The Antichrist will rise to be the savior of the world, right? And the scriptures not only give the heads up, the Holy Spirit not only gives the heads up, but guess what? He gives you the results. God said in the beginning, when he gave us one word of God and told us not to depart. Because if we did, we would die. The Hebrew means, in dying you shall die. Now God has given a heads up again. 3,000 years ago in Psalm 2, God has ushered out a message to the politicians and military leaders, to the nations and to the peoples in mass. And he questions the world in the development of this critical Antichrist spirit and mentality that will eventually find its way. Demonic revelation always finds its way into political ideology, into the critical mass of thinking. The spirit of Antichrist will lead to the rise of the actual Homo Satanus, Satan in human flesh. Here's what God says. I mean, it's going to happen. Even New Agers know. They might say, oh, it's a world leader. Ufologists might say, oh, it's a spiritual ancient alien presence that once brought us here. Why is it flying around in a ship? Albert Pike can say that Lucifer is the good, bright, shining one, and he's the one going to return and bring us the brilliance. Revelation 9 tells a different story. Now, you can either believe the spirits of this Luciferic kingdom. You can either embrace this seeming majesty of spiritual evolution to godhood. Or you could embrace the Spirit of God that brings a redemption, that comes to the core, that deals with the real issues, that brings you back into an instantaneous and eternal relationship with God that will result in the glorification. New Agers, have you read about it? 1 Corinthians 15, indestructible immortality. But for those who understand the deception, for those that are embracing it, please understand, as Bob Rozio in a great book called Hitler in the New Age has said again and again, destruction, listen, is coming. We all know that. Bob Rozio's warning, and I think it's based on biblical revelation, is that deception, here's what he says, always leads to destruction. Always. When Satan rose up against Israel and enticed King David to sin, did it not bring destruction? When Satan brought an attack and brought things in Job's life, didn't it bring destruction? When ever Satan comes with tantalizing, masquerading, seemingly brilliant, beautiful, emotionally, spiritually appeasing at the moment temptation. It's like biting the apple that's packed with razor blades. Some of you are dancing on the razor blades right now. The same Spirit of God that tries to give everyone the head up, that caused the prophet Isaiah to tell about Emmanuel coming, that led the writer of Psalm 16 to prophesy 1,000 years in advance concerning the resurrection of the Son of God from the dead. The Spirit of God that moved on Mary, that caused the conception that eventually brought forth God in human flesh, Emmanuel. The Spirit of God that came on Jesus for ministry when he was 30, about 30, as prophesied out of Isaiah, 700 years in advance. All the works of healing, raising the dead, delivering people, all the works of Jesus by this Holy Spirit presence and power. The death on the cross would eventually be overturned by the exertion of the power of the Spirit of God and the resurrection of Christ, who blasted apart the finality of death. This is the Spirit of God that has given us Revelation chapter 9. This is the Spirit of God that is revealed concerning the seals that will be opened that involve the actual factual events of near future history. That only the Lamb of God, only Christ, was able to open up and give. Remote viewers, you can't touch this. Psychics, you can't touch this. This is not in the realm of Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce, because they were massively inaccurate among some of their accuracies. Their source was not the Spirit of God, never was. I want the Spirit of God. I want what the infinite, uncreated, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent Spirit of God says. Revelation 9, he shows that all of the deception, even the working of the abyss, all the things that occur, in one chapter, it shows us within a 3.5 year period. From the time of the great chaos to the time of the mid part of the tribulation, or right beyond that, 1/3 of humanity will perish. Now we're talking, 2.5 billion people. More people in the shortest amount of time will perish in violence because, dear friends, the satanic deception always leads to radical destruction. Jesus Christ loves you. That's why he hung on the cross. That's why he never sinned. He didn't curse you. He didn't curse humanity. God says that he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. If you put your saving in the hands of the New Age spirits or ancient demon god spirituality. If you just simply cry out and say you're an atheist because you're angry, then the sin code is operating. You're still lost. And it's all stealing from you the grace that could have been yours. You can read about it in the book of Jonah where he says simply, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could have been theirs. You realize some will forfeit indestructible immortality, seeing God face to face, looking at God. Right now, when you receive the living Christ inside your life, the sin code is broken, all is forgiven, the Spirit of God comes in, everything is new, you are in a relationship with God, all the promises of God and the words of God are open to you, and a coming glorification. A coming seeing of God face to face. I testify to you, the Spirit of God inside witnesses what the Word of God says on the outside. I know that He is alive. He lives in me. I know that I have the gift of eternal life dwelling within. I'm not a seeker. God has found me. I have found God. And that's what's happening right now, 58 minutes into this program. For many of you, God is seeking you. You're not listening to this channel or this archive by chance. The Spirit of God is in all the world right now to convince the world, to convict the world, to deal with the world, to draw the world to speak to you. In the sight of the living God who loves you, knows you, and wants you, come to Christ. Accept Him, receive Him, believe on Him right now, right wherever you are. And please write me and tell me that you did. If you're a believer in Christ, grow stronger. In the Word of God, in the depth of the Spirit of God. You stand up and fight the good fight. Do all that you can do. Become powerful in prayer and be a soul winner. This is not a day for hiding among the rocks as survivalists, like the soldiers did in ancient Israel when Goliath is on the field. It's a time to believe in the presence and mighty power of God and go down onto the field in faith and fight. There's where you will see the supernatural power of God. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. Thank you for listening. God bless you. ShatterTheDarkness.net.